So I think as an entrepreneur, things are going to happen. You can have the business plan on paper, but then the first day that you start your business, everything changes. So the skills of how flexible are you? How do you adapt? How do you take things, quote unquote, not going your way as learning opportunities? Asking yourself, what is the lesson here? All of these different factors of resiliency and how you adjust, how you adapt, to me is one of the greatest skill sets that we can have right now. And what a great opportunity to learn during a global pandemic.
I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Tightrope Podcast. We tell the stories of people who are defining the future of work. Our guests walk the tightrope, away from meaningless toil, and towards work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people, and is fun to do, meaningful work. The stories that our guests tell and the insights that they provide will inspire you to connect with work and experiences that stoke your passions and make the world a better place. For the future of work is meaningful work. This week, we meet Regina Bernal. She is the University of San Diego's Entrepreneurship Manager. In her role, she guides student entrepreneurs beyond the typical startup business metrics to more meaningful ends. Regina is leading a movement that promotes resilient entrepreneurs, people that are hell-bent on launching successful and scalable businesses while they help to make the world a better place. Much of our conversation revolves around the pandemic, which has upended her life and career, but also the lives and fortunes of her student entrepreneurs. We spoke with Regina Bernal earlier this week on Zoom. Regina Bernal, welcome to the Tightrope.
Hi, Dan. How are you? It's really nice to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you. Thank you. So let's get to it. You are the entrepreneurship manager at the University of San Diego. What is your mission in that role?
So I've been now with the University of San Diego as a manager for about 8 years. And before that, I was an undergraduate and then pursued my master's degree in leadership. And through the work that I've done, my mission and my passion is to work with the next generation of entrepreneurs. So I work with students as early as, you know, when they're in the idea phase, even later when they're starting to think about how they structure their business, what is it going to take to actually launch their business, and going through them with all of the learning process. And then on the external facing side, I work a lot on university partnerships. So who can mentor the students in the community? How can we better collaborate? So I'm very active in the San Diego startup scene. And as far as my work at USD and why I feel that I'm so passionate about it is I really think that all of us have ideas, right? We have ideas all the time. And to be able to go with someone through the process of actually translating an idea that you have in your head and making it into something actionable is something that I've really enjoyed doing, you know, over the last years at USD.
It's hard enough to become a startup entrepreneur, I think, but I often thought it easier to be one when you're surrounded by people, such as in a college setting. I think back to when I was in college, and had I been on an entrepreneurial track, I likely would have gone into business with him, certainly with my college roommate, who's also my best friend. If that had worked out, we probably would have been in business together. What challenges do student entrepreneurs have now, especially dealing now with the pandemic?
In the beginning, I saw just challenges, right? So when we were sent home and I just started, I spent about a week in a very challenging place, right? Because all I can see were the challenges and everything seemed like a challenge, you know, the students, internships, jobs. And then I started to see how much opportunity there was right now for learning, right? So as an entrepreneur, there's skill sets that you need to learn outside of the classroom, right? So there are certain things that you will learn from our incredible faculty, but there's so many things that you're going to have to learn for yourself, right? So I started to get really motivated in this mentality of skilling up. You know, how can this pandemic actually help you reskill or actually learn new things as an entrepreneur that are going to make such a huge impact? In the moment that we were separated, we, in a way, were longing for our community again. So what I started to see were these places of community reaching back out to each other. The entrepreneurship club quickly came together and decided, okay, how can we better support each other? I came in with some of my colleagues. So we really started to bond in a different way. I also started to realize the openness of people to want to speak to students. So that was a huge opening that maybe before pandemic, people were open, but you know, the logistics, right? Of where do we meet? How do we meet? Where do we go? Should I go to campus? And right now through Zoom, it really has given you access to people that maybe you would not have ever had access to. So I saw that for the student entrepreneurs and right now students in general, I think that the pressure of the economy and, you know, this new normal and companies that we all admired a lot, you know, you think about Uber, you think about Airbnb, and you think about these unicorns that we have been hearing about for a generation, right? And then you see them struggling and you step back and you're just thinking, well, as an entrepreneur that's starting, you know, what does that mean for me? And then I started to see the switch of actually right now when nothing is fully launched, then you could actually create so many pivots, right? You can make so many changes. You can adapt in different ways. So actually right now, I think student entrepreneurs are very well positioned because they have an entire community of support around them to help them, not just right, you know, through this immediate storm, but build skill sets that will help them with future storms.
You talk about all this, and I think about crisis. And crisis is the motion lotion of opportunity. Without crisis, we would not be thinking about solving problems to the degree that we are now. Add to that community. I think that's perfect alchemy for entrepreneurship. How do you see it?
Right. And again, in those 2 weeks that I started to also go inside, you know, my mind and do more reading about resiliency. And there's a quote that, of course, is not mine, but I read and it stuck with me, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. And in that, in crisis, there's opportunity. And then I also realized that there is a false myth that in the world, there's not going to be crisis, right? We all face crisis in our personal lives. We all face crisis as a society. So this complete line of happiness that it doesn't go up and down, it's also a myth, right? So I started to realize that we are in these moments, just as we can have the greatest, you know, emotional highs, we also have emotional lows as humans and as societies, and we're challenged in different ways. But it's going through these challenges that you reconnect with yourself. You maybe build relationships, you know, that are going to be for a lifetime. I really think that during this pandemic, people are going to remember the people that were there for you and how people showed up and how people reacted and how people supported you. So it's a great opportunity to actually build mentorships and partnerships that will hopefully, you know, withstand not just this storm, but whatever storm comes in the future.
So you mentioned communities, and one of our guests this season was a guy named James Sinclair, who's right up the road from you in Los Angeles. And he co-founded Enterprise Alumni. And what that is a platform, a community, if you will, for people who are now alumni from their companies. Oftentimes, especially during this pandemic, they've been furloughed. And management at those companies are using the platform to continually engage and enrich those castoffs, if you will, for the purpose of keeping them engaged and hopefully to bring them back in as full-time employees or as contractors, which I think is great. The students you're dealing with at the University of San Diego are further advantaged by the fact that they already have a community that they trust, that they're willing to engage with. But I think most importantly, to work with to solve real-time problems.
Exactly. And I think that the part of solving real-time problems, I always talk to the students in a way that, you know, their skills are taught, right? So we are able to teach skills, the technical skills. But I think that's something that the students at USD have and that I've seen and I really want to encourage them to develop is this ethical part. So you can really train skills, but this how you approach problems, how you make people feel, how you engage your team, how you make ethical decisions, not just for yourself, but for society, how you have a global perspective It's not just about me. It's about my place in the world. All of these different things to me are so important and so important to develop. And the community piece, I feel like learning how to work with others and learning how to work with others well is very important. You can be the best in your skills, and you will be, but there's parts that are, you know, and I hate to call them, it's not even the soft skills. Right now, it's the human skills. It's the human factor that right now has become more important than ever. And if you don't develop that, I think it's going to be very complicated. And I just think right now in the world that we're living in, we've realized how much really we influence each other as a society, globally, actually, not just in our local community. So I think there's going to be a great lesson about thinking about each other and the human qualities and the ethical parts. You know, I look at the world right now, and it's not just that we're facing complex problems, and they're not going to be solved by working harder. They're going to be solved by thinking differently, acting differently. So I think that's something that I'm very motivated at right now.
So when we talked in pre-interview, you described this idea of the resilient entrepreneur. And what you just said, is that the resilient entrepreneur, somebody who balances the human skills and the entrepreneurial skills? And why is it all so important?
So for us, and this, the Resilient Entrepreneur series is something that we created at the University School of Business Catalyzer. So when we decided that we weren't going to have our big pitch competition, we thought, how can we continue to add value right now to our students and really pivot into something they immediately need and that we can support them with? And we thought about resiliency. Mm-hmm. And the inspiration of resiliency came not just if you wanted to be an entrepreneur, but just in the way that you face life right now. So I think as an entrepreneur, things are going to happen. You can have the business plan on paper, but then the first day that you start your business, everything changes. So the skills of how flexible are you? How do you adapt? How do you take things, quote unquote, not going your way as learning opportunities? Asking yourself, what is the lesson here? All of these different factors of resiliency and how you adjust, how you adapt, to me is one of the greatest skill sets that we can have right now. And what a great opportunity to learn during a global pandemic, you know? So we have a lot of data to work with and to practice our resiliency.
What are the things that are keeping students up at night these days?
I think that for students right now, of course, I think it's the conversation of the economy. The Right. conversation of the economy, the conversations of jobs, the conversation of everything changing. So I think right now, if you're graduating and you're hearing all of these things, it is a very intimidating time. But I also have seen students right now, you know, our Entrepreneurship Club president, I worked with her and recommended her for a job actually here in a company in San Diego, and she got hired, and it was her dream job, and it happened during the pandemic. So I also think that for students, they will be asked, you know, how did you take time right now during this pandemic to grow in your skill set? Or how did you use this time to continue moving? And for the students that right now just have been able to take it as a learning, keep moving with their resume, networking, calling, using LinkedIn. I think that LinkedIn is the greatest tool of our time. Mm-hmm. I really see that they're really positioned to do well in the world. And it is, I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of different things that are keeping them up at night, but I also believe in them so much. I know that, you know, they need to believe in themselves because I see their capabilities and I'm so excited for them to go out into the world. And yes, it will be challenging and yes, it will be hard, but they're training themselves, they're preparing, you know, you're not going to run a marathon overnight, and they're putting in the work. And I think that putting in the work will make a big difference.
I think one of the most difficult things that college students today have to deal with is the lack of physical proximity. I mentioned to you, my daughter is entering her sophomore year in college. So she's 19 years old, and she has to physical distance right now. That is hard. I think back 40 years ago where I was, that was not my experience. It was a different world, mind you, a lot more polluted. And we were dealing with different issues at the time. But I think what you're saying about being patient is really resonant. this generation is going to have to play the long game and set aside the short-term endorphin rushes.
Yes.
Timelines are going to take a lot longer because we cannot be in each other's physical presence.
Exactly, Dan. I completely agree with you on that. And I think, you know, I'm reminded of this too shall pass. And I think even I am on the younger side in a way, and I'm so rushed for everything. I feel like I need to accomplish all of my professional goals. And this pandemic has made me be a little bit more patient. This is only one chapter of the book of my life. And, you know, that's it. And I'm doing the best I can in writing it. I'm learning as much as I can. But I think that when you see the long term of life, you realize that what we're going through right now, it won't be forever. And, you know, for the students, I think another part of it too, I mean, this is a real example of feedback that as simple as this that we had from the students when we were doing the online courses, they said that they missed the casual conversation of walking out the door and touching base with their classmates. Right. And that when it was on Zoom, it was so abrupt, right? Class starts, everyone logs out of the meeting. And it was simple feedback of saying, can the professors use 5 minutes at the end of class just to open up the space to touching base? Mm-hmm. And it actually created a great feeling of, you know, of being, again, in community. And there isn't the physical proximity, but at least they were able to do it, you know, virtually. I think that my greatest frustration happened when I thought that this was going to be a very short term, you know, turn the lights back on and everything goes back to normal. I think that's when I first hit my first wall. And then I just realized and I said, no, this is not gonna be short. This is probably gonna be longer than we had anticipated. And we realize even today, it might be even longer than we had anticipated. So I think that when you constantly have this concept of the timeline working how you want it to work, then you're going to be disappointed. But once you let go of that timeline, then you can flow more easily and stop having this frustration of, you know, when is it going to end? When is it going to end? Well, I don't think anyone fully knows when everything and if it's going to go back exactly to normal. We don't know. We don't have this information.
So think about what you just said. I'm an old guy. I'm going to be 60 next year. 18 months, 24 months in the scope of my entire life is nothing. But for my daughter's generation, and she's 19, 18 months to 24 months is a big chunk of the college experience. And that is now defining their college experience for the good and for the bad.
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think it is tough. And I think about my college experience and how is, like what you said, it was really great years of my life, but we never know. Maybe this generation really, you know, build something in themselves that the world needed, right? Maybe they will have, you know, more resilient skills. I know that it's tough right now. I just can't make the whole, you know, judgment without having what happens in the long term, right? So I think that right now, maybe this generation has the opportunity to spend more time with their parents, you know? So for me, I was so rushed to get out of my house and to be in other places. And I never really had the opportunity to spend grown-up time with my parents. Mm. So that's something I didn't have. And I never thought about it, but I'm thinking about it now. And maybe that's, you know, a hidden gift, the gift of time that you have with your loved ones, the gift of awareness, of relationships, right? Of your friendships, the ones that right now are, you know, become, you're constantly checking up on each other. How are you feeling? How are you doing? So I think to me, this gift of time actually has given me a lot. And I think that for college students in the rush of the college life, maybe right now there's some hidden gifts that when they look back, you know, when they're 60, they're going to say, well, isn't it really cool that I got to spend a year, you know, spending time with my dad that no longer is here?
Right.
Because that's a reality, you know, that's not an if, it will happen to all of us at some point. That's another piece of looking at it.
Well, I think it's a big piece of what we're looking at right now. So I'll relate to that. When I started off in recruiting in the late 90s, that was right before the dot-com rush, the balloon busted, if you will. So I remember back at that time, the rush for money and the measuring stick for a startup entrepreneur was how much they got in the A round and the B round and the C round. Money. It was all about how much capital did they get from friends and family, angel investors, and hopefully VCs. But that was at the expense of what you just described, which is wonderful. They were siloed off from humanity, making this startup ready to roll. And as you know, so many of them didn't succeed. They got a lot of money.
Right.
And they blew up.
Exactly.
And in the end, those people lost out on the experience of interpersonal engagement with family and friends.
Yeah. And I think that if and this is something that I do, if you ever need a bath of cold water of perspective, read Steve Jobs' last words in the hospital. He wrote and he said, the most expensive bed is your hospital bed. You can hire people to do everything for you except breathe. And this is what this is a man, you know, that we that left, you know, a legacy in the way that we use technology and spend all of his life. And then you see what he wrote in his last reflections, and it's very humbling, you know? So I think that right now it's the long-term, you know, view of your life, right? Of true perspective of what matters, to have these honest conversations with yourself. And we see people, or at least, you know, I've read of people that have made all of this money and everything. And it seems that their reflection back on their life, once they're at their, you know, at the end, it seems very similar, right? What was important was family, was friendship, was support, was all of those things that you can't necessarily quantify. I'm not saying it, I mean, great. I believe I'm also a super driven person, right? I'm super driven, but at the same time, I am in a more reflective mode during these times. And it has ignited reflection inside me to think about things in a different way and to think about the infinite game.
So beyond your job as entrepreneurship manager, what are the things that you're working on that you're really excited about, Regina?
I've always loved public speaking, and I've always loved writing. And they described to me that when I go on a stage, like when I did my TED Talk, and there was at the San Diego Symphony Hall, which is thousands and thousands and more thousands of eyeballs. That's how I can describe it. I don't even remember what happened. It just did. And so to me, that's flow. And there's something that happens to me when I am in front of people that I show up to give. I don't really care if it's me. I mean, there's something about me that if I can have something that makes an impact in the way that I speak or in my thoughts, that makes my life so fulfilling. So I have this project, this little COVID project that I began, and I just thought, I'm going to go, and if there's the domain online that says reginabernal.com, then it's meant to be, and I'm going to buy it. And I looked, and it was there. It was meant to be, and I bought it. So right now, what the only thing I have there as of now is that it's under construction. And what I wrote under was, but aren't we all? Because that's how I feel right now. I feel like I'm under construction of different things that I'm thinking. So I'm starting to write more, starting to reflect more. And my dream right now is to really make that a thought leadership platform that others can use and resonate with, because I've been there. Like what I just explained to you, Dan, I've been with these walls and I've faced different challenges and different things. And if there's any part of my story that resonates with anyone, that to me is super exciting.
What you just described is very, very important. 10 years ago, my first iteration out of the box as an entrepreneur, having that brand, I put upon me all the things that had to happen, that had to be in place before I got started. Didn't really work out very well. I'm now at a point like you, Regina. It'll be what it'll be. Let it figure itself out as time goes on. Because you know what? With the pandemic in place, with a lot of tension in the world, with a lot of economic discombobulation, all those factors are going to impact whatever business plan I have in place right now. So exactly. It's almost better to leave it an open plate, a clean palette that will paint its own pictures, write its own narrative. So good for
you. Thank you. And I think, you know, part of this too is the stress of waiting until everything, your business plan is perfect or everything is in place, instead of just letting it flow and letting it happen. And I think that right now, there is a space right now of community building, of sharing your story. So I think it's a great opportunity to get started right now. And if anything, the goal that I have immediately is, if my story resonates with someone and can make an impact, I'm all for that, because there's so many people that have made an impact in my life that, you know, if for one person that they read and they're like, huh, actually I do resonate with that, to me, that's such a big fulfilling life, right? That's my bigger why.
Well, you just mentioned storytelling, and I'm thinking that's what survives out of this pandemic.
Right. And with us, with storytelling, you know, we as humans have always been storytellers.
Right.
That's how we, you know, passed on information. And I just think in this world, you know, bullet points, right? No one resonates with that. And we all have a story. And I think the other part of it too is just being brave enough to have the vulnerability to share authentic stories. Because to me, it's very evident when you're sharing, you know, from the honest place inside you and your storytelling versus it being rehearsed. So for me, it's also growing in my authenticity so that I can share my story fully and show up as I am with my stories.
Well, you just mentioned bravery, and that's another important linchpin in storytelling. Our guest, Amy Stern, this past season talked about that a lot. And again, good for you to pursuing that element of your own storytelling and brand build.
Thank you, Dan.
This has been a lot of fun, Regina, and I hope to get you back soon, because I think you are overseeing a laboratory of how entrepreneurship is going to change, how it's going to become more meaningful, and to use your own term, resilient. So before we depart, if somebody wanted to read more about you and your social media, where would you point them?
So I would definitely point them towards reginabernal.com. And right now, if you add your email on there, I'm going to start doing more content and writing and sharing it. And also, I'm very active on LinkedIn. I mentioned it before. LinkedIn, mm-hmm. to me, is the greatest tool of our time. It's magical. So I do a lot of posts on LinkedIn as well. And I would also encourage, I'm happy to connect. If you shoot me an email, send me a LinkedIn post, and you just want to, you know, grab a virtual coffee for 30 minutes and have a conversation, I am 100% on board.
Wonderful. Just wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the tightrope.
Of course. Thank you, Dan. Thank you for inviting me. The work that you're doing is amazing, and it's an honor to be here.
Oh, you made my day. Thank you, Regina.
Thank you.
Links to Regina Bernal's social media are provided in the show notes for this episode at dansmolin.com. Please join us again for more inspiring stories from people who walk the tightrope to seek and do meaningful work. You can subscribe to us where you get your podcasts, or listen to current and past episodes on our website at dansmolin.com. I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Tightrope Podcast. Together, let's walk the tightrope to find and do meaningful work. For the future of work is meaningful work. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Let's connect again next week.